The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
With the first pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams, quarterback, Southern California.
What's the reason, Duck? I'm here. Rome's here. Keenan Allen, top five defense that we had last year. We're here. So I'm excited. I know everybody's excited. The Bear fans are excited.
Our system's working. It's time to win.
There's something inside that they can't get to, that they can't touch. It's yours.
What are you talking about?
Hope.
And a 13-3 lead for the Patriots has Soldier Field's faithful unhappy.
So this game right here, obviously, you know, as a head football coach, all disappointed, accepting accountability. You know, for everything.
After the 19th straight Chicago drive without a touchdown.
It just seems like everything is hard for Chicago offense. Everything is a struggle. Nothing is easy.
And it's 19-3 New England with 2:17 to play.
Are you confident in Matt right now, and why or why not?
Am I confident in my head coach? Yes, I'm confident in my head coach.
Yeah, like I said, we'll look at everything. I think it's look from everything from the top to the bottom and making sure that we're finding the answers.
He's full of crap. He should be fired right this minute.
This team is in total disarray, and after the third year of this, it's just totally unacceptable.
My observation is what happened yesterday really punctured the illusion that we as Bears fans had that we're finally a good organization.
Headed for the exits in Chicago. Never a good sign. Caleb Williams, just all he can do is shake his head. Frustration for the first round pick.
Hope. Let me tell you something, my friend. Hope is a dangerous thing. Drive a man insane.
The official adventures of...
And now, live from Las Vegas at Circa Resort and Casino, home of the world's largest sports book, it's the Spiegel and Holmes Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Well, you can put your hope away. You got Skeptical and Cynical hosting the afternoon show today here on The Score for reasons that they absolutely deserve. Welcome in. We are live at Stadium Swim here at Circa Casino and Resort. We are Matt Spiegel. We are Lawrence Holmes, Shane Reardon, Chris Tannehill. We are here as a group watching that nonsense that happened yesterday.
I think this is the most beautiful and exciting atmosphere that I've ever had an experience that miserable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that was a miserable experience. Like, we were all set up in the cabana with sound on the TV and, like, the red zone, you know, just the orgy of football on the big screen.
Oh.
Well, it is essentially, and it should, with an open tab, lobster corn dogs.
You went right for those yesterday.
Dude, I was
like, eating. We sat down, you're like, time for lobster corn dogs. What?
Been thinking about it for months. I mean, seriously, that should have been one of the most joyful Bears game watching experiences of our lives. And the whole thing was miserable, was it not?
I gotta say, they catered to every need we could possibly have had yesterday.
Except
watching
mental
this
health.
Well, no, Circa had nothing to do with that. They tried everything to cure that.
The sunshine is supposed to do that.
Yeah, theoretically. I did it too.
And the waitresses, I think.
But, you know,
in theory.
You're walking around, you know, and after that Bears game, I was just in shock. And you're walking around, and you got Chiefs fans. You got a group of Vikings fans who we saw yesterday here and at the D down the street.
And the Lions fans that are all in here.
Don't get started on that.
Oh, but that's what I'm saying, though. And also, you had even the Eagles fans, the miserable Eagles fans, were here having a great time. And we looked down the cabana next to us with those guys that were Bears fans.
Yeah.
They were having a good time because it's still Circa, it's still Stadium Swim. But that loss hit all of us really hard yesterday.
Not in the second half. Those dudes were not having a good time in the second half.
Yeah. Straight up not having a good time.
I felt bad. As soon as you guys left and it was just me and one of the clients that was here, we had like 15 beers left, all those lobster corn dogs. We had a couple pitchers of Mitch's vodka lemonades. I just brought everything to that group of Bears fans to the left.
Oh,
I was like, dude, we can't finish these. You need them as much as we do.
That's well done, Shane.
That's all. It's like, I don't want to solve my problems with alcohol, but sometimes it's just a lot easier.
I mean, considering, like, the venue, like, that's, that's totally appropriate.
That's what I did. Speaks, what did I say to you after I'm listening to David, Olin, and Pat on postgame?
Yeah.
And I did what I thought was an adequate amount of postgame prep.
Yeah,
what did I say? I grabbed a Modelo, and I was like, I am not going to let this team ruin this day here for me today.
That's exactly what you said. And you made your way into the pool. Yep. Shane was in the pool with a cigar.
Mitchie went into the pool
yesterday. Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah, me and Steam went into the pool. Yesterday, but still, I mean, Lawrence, I envied your seat when we were watching the Bears game at the Cabana because you had a great view of all the other games.
Yes.
Because all of them, every single one of them, was better going into the slate than Bears-Patriots. They were laughing at us wanting sound for Bears-Patriots. And coming out of that slate of the noon games, it was even worse than that. And you were also watching the point spread.
That was my favorite part of watching the Bears at -6.5.
Uh-huh.
And then for it to move.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, Patriots -4. Then Patriots -6.5.
Yeah, you almost bet it. You almost bet the Bears.
I almost bet the Bears in that moment. I was like, there's no way, right? Like, there's no way that they're not going to rally in this game against this team.
Dude.
They're not going to rally. They're not going to commit to the run yet again against a defense that was begging for them to commit to the run.
That 10-point lead was completely insurmountable. Like, you knew there was no shot that they're coming back from a 10-point lead. And then just the experience of watching it. Like, you laughed a couple of times, Lawrence. You laughed when three free rushers came at once. We were incredulous when on the same drive, I think it was the same series, they tried to move the pocket left.
And then
they couldn't even reset the pocket there, and Caleb got hit. Then they tried to move the pocket right, and they couldn't reset the pocket on that, and he threw the ball away. It was like they couldn't set a pocket. They couldn't move a pocket. They couldn't do anything.
These dudes took a special teams gunner, put him on the field as a spy on Caleb Williams, and that guy had the day of his life. Terrorizing the Bears quarterback.
Long-haired white dude who's not Anzalone or any other number of long-haired white linebackers that you've seen.
AJ Hawk.
Yeah, right. Is it Brooker?
Clay Matthews.
Yeah, any of them. Sorry.
Schooler, right?
I'm profiling. I know I'm profiling.
No, it's okay.
That's not right.
They fit the job.
And that's what you had. You had your quarterback get sacked 9 times. You had a game plan that is just
so questionable. Yeah.
And what it is that they were trying to accomplish. You saw, like, all the things that Caleb did wrong himself.
Yes.
Throwing off the back foot, not letting stuff develop, throwing the ball out of bounds for another game where he struggles in those moments. And you just go, how is this anything that anyone thought was going to work? How do you walk into that game with the idea of, well, we'll end up passing it more than running it against a team whose rush defense was one of the worst in the NFL?
Because they couldn't rush the passer either, Lawrence. They had 8 sacks over their last 6 games combined. 8 sacks. And yesterday they had 9. It was pathetic. You guys, Shane and Tanny, you guys got a little window on how both me and Lawrence watch games. I had my little legal pad here. Lawrence had his big legal pad. Mine was like the little brother of the legal pads.
True alpha, yeah. Out legal padding you, you know. Lawrence brought his card table, too. You know, I was making photo stats all day.
Got to get a photo stat.
But Lawrence was definitely the alpha note taker. I agree with that. And but like I kept marking down. All right, let me make one signal when I think it's Waldron's fault. Let me make another signal on a play.
That.
Make another signal on a play when I think it's Caleb's fault. You know, and right here we are with the little legal pad. And then I got a bunch of plays where both of those signals are down. Is this Waldron's fault? Is it Caleb's fault? And you wait for dissection from the tape watchers and also from the way they talk. Caleb says on the awful DJ Moore screen pass on 3rd and 2 where they lost 3 yards. He says he should have handed the ball off to Swift. He said that was his decision to not hand it off and to throw the DJ screen.
Okay, well, he's an idiot.
I don't know if he's taking the blame for something that he shouldn't, or if they're just giving. Have they given him too many decisions?
I think that it's possible that they've allowed him to freelance a little much, and that's why, like I kept saying to you guys yesterday, I don't think Drake May's good, and Eric Barrister was like, "Well, what do you think of him now?" I still don't think he's good, but they understood the assignment. The assignment was, how can we most easily get a win? And so they gave him a run game. They stayed committed to it. And then they worked play action. Here's how crazy yesterday's Bears game was. These are my notes, right? Second quarter.
Okay.
I wrote down one of the biggest plays of the game.
Third and one.
Hooper on the crosser.
Yeah.
Another explosive passing play. That was in the second quarter.
Third one was like a 24-yard gain or something like that, right? Yeah.
This guy, Hooper, was tearing them apart.
He really was.
Crossing the formation.
Their running back was running with purpose, too.
Yes.
Unlike guy on the other side.
Yeah.
Bouncing it to
loves to bounce it.
DeAndre loves to bounce it.
It's because he's weak.
I think he just wants to be a game breaker, and then they paid him and anointed him, like telling him that that's okay.
He probably needs someone as a hammer back that is going to run it up inside, but I get annoyed with him, and I know that he's got special talent, and we've seen some of it. But
touchdown, right?
Yeah.
They needed that, and he gave it to him.
What if I told you he's got a hammer back, Lawrence? What if I told you they don't use Roshan at all for anything?
He doesn't have enough speed to be a legit
back. But he's got enough power to at least push through a bad offensive line and show them that, hey, we don't always just run it to the outside.
You know what?
Put them both in the game at the same time.
You know what my theory is on the Swift thing is that they weren't going to run inside zone this year. Remember? They weren't going to run inside zone. And he's a real bad fit for inside zone. For outside zone, it's like, oh, go ahead, guy. Take it outside. And when you see the lane, you just take off. Inside zone, you got to go ahead and take your 3-4 yards when they're there. Or if there is space, then you cut back. He doesn't seem to be a good fit for that. You know who is Khalil Herbert. Khalil Herbert's actually a good fit for inside zone.
He is.
But they never gave
him
a
out.
Shot. No, yeah, it's gone.
Well, I will say, though, Khalil Herbert's first carry in Cincinnati, he fumbled. they put him into the game. He immediately fumbled. But still, it's so annoying that right in front of you, you had the answer to some of your offensive problems. And even if the way that I look at it, I don't know about the holistic fixing of the entire offense. But I know for one day, you should have had a better game plan than that.
Well, guess what? This whole year was supposed to be about winning. This is not about building something as volume one. This was supposed to be about winning. Every game plan was supposed to be about winning. This is winning time. I was hoping all along in the offseason they were going to ask Caleb to do very little. Like, and they even talked that game a little bit. Rely on your playmakers.
Right, and you should be able to ask him to do less because you have Roma Dunze, and because you have Keenan Allen, because you have DJ Moore.
And your defense. That should have been the entire thing should have been those kind of simpler designs. By the way, a texter saying he thinks I should have said smorgasbord instead of orgy of football. I'm going to defend the word choice. That's a 180-foot screen with 9 games on. That thing is sexy.
Yeah, I believe you said football Caligula during the break, and we tightened it up there to orgy.
That's Derek Stevens.
Shane, can the camera stretch far enough to let everyone see the screen?
That's a great question.
Yeah, I can just move it and go out there temporarily. Yeah.
You know what, Shane?
Yeah.
We should both go out there.
Yeah, we should. Yeah, you got our shorts on, bring the camera.
I just wanted to, just for scale purposes, I want, right, yeah, I want the audience to know exactly what it is that we were looking at.
That's
yesterday.
Right. And you decide what's a, what is a better word than that one.
Yeah, because I think that you're right. Yeah. I think football orgy is where it's at.
Unfortunately, the Bears showed up. There's always a bummer at one of those.
And yeah, you're going to see some things because it is Stadium Swim. All we're saying is that we want you to be able to understand how awesome our experience out here was. And then you tell us. Uh-huh. You tell us if it was a football orgy or
right,
not.
The Bears
Switch
are like,
mob?
The Bears are like John Candy showing up at a football orgy. You know what I mean? Like, oh, boy.
Here's our Stadium Swim Megalodon here. Our,
yes!
our version of this. There we go. Megalodon's coming up a little bit later in the show also.
Yeah, that's what we're looking at directly outside yeah, of our cabana.
And you had a better view of that. Me, Shane, and Teddy just had to watch the Bears. It sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an amazing place, and we can't say good enough things about Stadium Swim and the folks here at Circa.
Dude, there's no better place to watch an absolute disaster of a football team.
But I got to tell you, like, look, I've been gone from home the longest.
Dude, you were in Arizona for like a week and a half?
So if for me, it'll be 12 days by the time I get back.
Wow.
And when they were showing, like, the beauty, I was like, God, I miss home. And I miss home because of how bad that game was yesterday. Like, that was one of those things where you come into the studio on fire. Like, you miss being able to, like, take your favorite thing that you throw or squeeze and you take – because it's just – it's Speaks. It's just dumb bleeping football. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, you started squeezing Shane during the show.
Well,
I mean, that seemed inappropriate.
I really resent it around here. You know, you're angry about the football game, and you're trying to contain that anger and channel it on the radio show, and then, like, bring another play of tray of lobster corn dogs,
yeah,
or some tendies, like, okay.
Or the really incredible fries that they have here that we've
those
all
fries,
bonded on.
Those fries are delicious.
They're really good.
I don't know what they're doing.
I don't know what type of
is
seasoning
it crack?
They're.
I think it's crack.
I don't know if it's Old Bay or crack or whatever it is. I just know that it is fantastic.
It's a lot of sugar, I'll tell you that. There's
That's fine.
There's sugar in there.
In the fries?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, whatever it takes.
Yeah, that is fine. We need to take a timeout, but when we come back. Oh.
He's not doing anything. He's thinking about everything. It's all on the table. He's open to anything, but nothing has happened so far.
Matt Eberflus, this guy. This bleeping guy. Let's talk Bears with you next on The Score.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
There's got to be a change and adjustment to what we're doing because we, you know, obviously lost three in a row. There will be changes, adjustments being made. Again, I'm not going to disclose those right now. I'm not at that point in the process. You know, Monday's a long day.
Monday is a long day. Is that this? That's part of this morning? It's
yeah,
hard to tell which one from the string of useless Matt Eberflus press conferences.
I mean, they are starting to bleed together a little bit. But
Monday's a long day. Yeah, I don't have an answer for you this morning, but Monday's a long day. So, okay, Lawrence.
I wish they would bleed out together, Lawrence.
Lawrence Holmes and Matt Spiegel are your show here. Spiegel and Holmes on yeah, The Score. Lawrence, you think... I mean, finally, I'll be surprised if by the end of the day, at this point, finally, we don't have Shane Waldron demoted. The question is he going to get fired and be gone from the building entirely?
If there's no reason to keep him if he's not going to call plays for you. And I imagine that his pride will also not allow for him to take the step back after doing this for as long as he's done it. And why would you want him here? But who knows? Maybe when they look at when all the football geniuses up there look at the tape, maybe they'll find out that it wasn't Shane's fault.
Don't you think that the relationship is so broken and so obviously broken between Caleb and Shane that we've seen?
You mean the laughing and Caleb being like, what's this guy laughing about?
That image. And there was another shot later in the game where they were sitting like 5 feet apart from each other on the bench, not even talking. But the image of Caleb shaking his head as Shane Waldron is laughing was so freaking relatable. I thought of it as like when you're trying to make up with the wife and you're trying for that joke, like, you know.
And it wasn't quite time. It wasn't. Like, maybe if you'd have waited a little bit longer, it would have been funny and you could have had that moment.
But
you make that joke and you're like, yeah. Oh, yeah, I've just made things way worse.
Exactly. I have restarted the fire of this argument.
Here's another reason why she doesn't want to be with me. This is right here. Because I do dumb stuff.
I have decided that we should be over it, and she is insulted by that fact, 100%. And maybe if I'd brought donuts back from my little walk on Fremont Street, it would have been different. Oh, wait, sorry, that got real. But anyway.
You're Joe Bag of Donuts.
We've had the pink box donuts. We're right there.
What?
Exactly. But no, like. That was a triple what? Oh, that was exciting.
Only in Vegas, am I right, guys?
Well done, Robbie.
But yeah, like, it's like Shane is trying to talk to him about, like, well, we could do this, but hey, you know, maybe this will work.
Like, what do you think he said? What made him laugh so hard on the bench next to
him? Hey, Caleb, that one was pretty bad, huh?
That play that I called that got you sacked. Oh, my God, was that awful.
I bet it was something like this. Well, we're just setting him up for the next time we do it, right? You know, something like that, where he's like making a rationalization for a bit of failure, and Caleb's just not freaking having it.
If you want to text us, because we got a little bit of time, 312-644-6767, text us what you thought Caleb's thought bubble was in that moment when they go to the sidelines and Shane Waldron is having a knee-slapping good time, even as the Bears are losing, and the quarterback's like, this bleeping guy. Like, that's what I kept thinking. He's like, there's Caleb being like, this bleeping guy over here.
This guy thinks that's going to work next time. What a freaking idiot.
Idiot.
My God, he doesn't understand. But then that supposes that Caleb even knows what he should be understanding. Like, that thing is so broken. And it's so obvious that Waldron should have been gone a week ago. At the very least, after the Arizona thing, Waldron should have been gone. And then you stretch this another week. Why is it taking so long? He asks, thinking he knows the answer anyway.
Well, okay. Let's give some plausibility to this.
Okay.
Maybe the reason that it takes so long is that even though they have already had to have one come to Jesus meeting with Shane Waldron, they decided that they were going to have another one after the Arizona game.
Uh-huh.
And then they go, Shane says all the right things, and then they go into the game and things go badly. But that's the only thing I can think of. Like,
yeah.
Let's see if he can actually take the coaching points and the feedback and then put it into but my thing is
he did that already like 3 weeks ago with the entire concept of teaching a first 15.
Correct. And if you look at this from the standpoint of what you're are you trying to win games?
Yeah.
You shouldn't have an offensive coordinator that's an experiment. Like, for real. You shouldn't have a guy that you have to make these type of discussions happen so that he can function in a time when you're supposed to be winning football games.
It's an experiment at every level, from the head coach to the OC, and that's what I even worry about. Let's all the Bears fans are like, oh, Ben Johnson next year. That would be a first-time head coach. And I know you can't be scared when you're trying to find the best offensive mind, but that stuff scares me, man. You know, like known commodity guys.
To me, it's about the personality and knowing whether a dude's a leader or not, and I will never fall prey to that again.
But sadly, they've shown us that they can't identify that person. So if Ryan Poles brings in Ben Johnson next year, I don't know how great I feel about that.
Well, the unwillingness to have it to move away from what you know. And even with Trace Armstrong, it's like, well, he was a Bear. We can trust this guy. He's got our best interests in mind. No, he's got his client's best. And like, this is why I always hated the outside consultant thing.
Oh, yeah, dude.
That your football operation should be able to do all of this stuff on its own.
This was the dream of a football president. I mean, there's an organization in the division that has finally done it right. And the model is there. And we'll talk about them plenty. Ben Johnson works for them. Here's some text, Lawrence, to answer your question on what Caleb was thinking as Shane Waldron is trying to joke about it here.
Let's do this.
All right, here's some. Colin Cowherd was right. This is one of them.
That's funny.
What the hell did I sign up for? Was another. One of us is going to be here next year. One of us. That he's thinking, my dad was right. I should have gone public that I didn't want to be a Bear instead of denying it. Here's another. I'll never get my QB1 party now. it's so clear that dude and Shane Waldron are just completely, completely out of sync together.
I think it's a lot simpler than we are admitting. I think the next head coach, although first-time NFL head coach, but guy who's got a relationship with Caleb, it's just Cliff Kingsbury. Just hire Cliff Kingsbury. Cliff Kingsbury.
You could do that.
Just stop. Enough. If you can't get Ben Johnson, just hire Cliff Kingsbury. Brush your hands and walk away.
What I think you need to do is to hire an offensive guy who has some badass in him and has some toughness in him, even if he freaks you out. Take that as a good sign.
Yeah, or Lincoln Riley. Whatever.
Either
one.
Yeah, right?
I'm also good on Lincoln Riley.
Yeah, yeah, okay. You're worried about
him. He's got a weird face.
USC
His facial features are a little bit too soft.
On Lincoln Riley, too.
Yeah.
Because things have not gone well.
No jawline. But it's Cliff Kingsbury and just walk away.
I'd be on board with that because even their offensive line is like not as good as the Bears starting on paper. Yeah. Right? So he can scheme around that.
Yeah.
So I'd be on board for that.
Yeah. 34 possessions since the bye for the Bears. 2 touchdowns. 11 3 and outs.
And what, Caleb hasn't thrown a touchdown since London?
Yeah.
No, I think since Vietnam.
Over Macho Grande?
I'll never get over Macho Grande.
Neither will I. Why don't we talk about the head coach of this team?
The experience of what it's like to hear that guy these days.
Yeah, we should discuss that, and we should inflict pain on Bears fans. You've already suffered enough. But you need to hear your coach, and we need to hear from you. 312-644-6767 is the number. Spiegel and Holmes talking about that disaster on the lakefront. Next, here on The Score.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.